بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر. ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر. تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر. سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. وقال: وكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعتكف العشر الأواخر من رمضان. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المعتكف هو الذي يعتكف الذنوب ويجري له من الحسنات كعامل الحسنات كلها، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. ذكر شريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. أما بعد، علماء الكرام، respected elders and dear brothers, we have come to a very 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 crucial part of this month of Ramadan. For a long time, the discussions about Ramadan have been carrying on. And for a long time we've been saying Ramadan is coming, Ramadan is coming, Ramadan is coming, Ramadan is here, and now it is almost time to say Ramadan is going. We have now come to a very, very important part of this month, the last 10 days of this month. This is a very crucial time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an opportunity to compensate for whatever we missed out in the first 20 days of Ramadan. What we ought to have been doing, what we have missed out in terms of opportunities, what shortcomings and deficiencies there were in our ibadat, the wastage of time and opportunities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us one last opportunity in these 10 days of Ramadan to compensate and make good whatever we missed out in the first 20 days. As we know, today is the 20th day, and tonight at Maghrib time, the last 10 days of Ramadan commence. It is in these last 10 days that there are two specific ibadats that are linked and connected particularly with the last 10 days of Ramadan. And that is, that one is the i'tikaf. The i'tikaf will commence tonight at Maghrib Azan time. All the mu'takifin have to be in i'tikaf, having formulated the niyat and intention of i'tikaf. And these last 10 nights of Ramadan are also the nights in which to search for Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, that night which is the equivalent of 1,000 months of ibadat and more. So we have come to that very crucial stage of this month. In fact, regarding the last 10 days of Ramadan, it is reported that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to exert himself more, much more in the last 10 days than even in the earlier days of Ramadan. And when the last 10 days used to come, then it is said that shadda mi'zarahu, shadda mi'zarahu, wastayqaza وَأَيْقَظَ أَهْلَهُ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاجْتَهَدَ فِيهِ مَا لَا يَجْتَهِدُ فِي غَيْرِ It comes in the narrations that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to exert himself more in the last 10 days of Ramadan than in the other days of Ramadan. To put it across in our lay terminology, it is time for us to go into overdrive now. This is to put the last push now. The maximum that we can do, we should do our maximum in these last 10 days. And shadda mi'zarahu, he used to tighten his loincloth or his lungi. This is a figurative expression. It is a figure of speech. It meaning that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to exert himself very much. We use the expression in English, tighten your belt. What does it mean when you tell someone, you better tighten your belt, or you better pull up your socks? It means that work hard, put in a lot of effort now. So that is exactly what this expression means in Arabic, shadda mi'zarahu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to really exert himself very much in these last 10 days. And wastayqaza, himself used to remain awake. Almost the whole night, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to stay up, engage in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As it is, even outside of Ramadan, most of his nights he used to be up, Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, qum al-layla illa qalila, nisfahu aw inqus minhu qalila, aw zid alayhi wa rattil al-Qur'ana tartila. This was the tartib of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life throughout the year, 365. That most of the nights he used to be up reciting the Holy Quran, engaging in supplications and dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, visiting Baqi and making dua for the inmates of Baqi. This was almost a nightly practice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in the dead of the night he used to go and pray for the inmates of Jannatul Baqi. And when it came to the last 10 days, then we can imagine the extent of his staying awake. And not only did he himself stay awake, but wa'aykaza ahlahu, he even awakened his family members, his daughters, his wives, and his family relatives. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to awaken them, he used to exhort them, that all of you should engage now in ibadat in these last 10 nights, and do your best in these last 10 days of Ramadan. Ideally, my dear friends, ideally, a person should really cut himself off from the whole vicious cycle of this world and come and camp at the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These tents that we see, it is as if a person is really camping now. We are camping. Normally when people go for camping, they take their tents with them and all of that. So this is also to remind us, these tents of i'tikaf. But it's a different type of camping. This is now camping in the house of Allah, at the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is as if by way of our body language and our actions, we are saying something. You know, like they say in Urdu, بَزُبَانِ حَال نَكَ بَزُبَانِ قَال. By way of your actions, you are making an expression to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is that expression? That, oh Allah, we are not going to move from here. It is like people are, you know, they have these vigils outside when they protest and so on. Then people, they camp out and they register their protest. So in the positive way, we are saying that, Ya Allah, we are here at your door. We are not going to move from here. We are petitioning you. We are asking you for our forgiveness and for the forgiveness of the ummah. And we are asking you to solve our problems and the problems of the ummah. That the ideal, my dear friends, the ideal is a person should go into i'tikaf. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the i'tikaf. It is a sunnah, established sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He performed the i'tikaf every year. One year, he sat the whole month of Ramadan. And the wisdom of his sitting for i'tikaf was to search for the Laylatul Qadr to inform his ummah which was the specific and exact night of Laylatul Qadr. So he sat the whole month of Ramadan. But when it became manifest to him that the Laylatul Qadr is indeed in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, from then onwards, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to sit the last 10 nights, the last 10 days, he used to sit in i'tikaf. And 1 year, he was unable to sit in i'tikaf because of one expedition. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam compensated for that the next year by sitting for 20 days in i'tikaf. So indeed, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sat on one occasion for 30 days or 1 month of i'tikaf. One occasion he sat for 20 days for i'tikaf. And generally, he sat for 10 days of i'tikaf. This was his practice right till the end of his Mubarak life. And the Azwaj-e Mutahharat, the mothers of the Ummah, the wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when they saw him going into i'tikaf, they also used to perform the i'tikaf. And most of them kept this practice up after his demise also. Till their demise, they would keep the practice of i'tikaf going. So this is a very significant point for our sisters also, that they should also look forward to doing i'tikaf. They should be encouraged to do i'tikaf. It is possible for them to also do the i'tikaf in emulation of the mothers of the Ummah. Our mothers and sisters should also strive or endeavor, or at least have a desire to do the i'tikaf. And indeed, it is quite easy for them. The laws are a bit more relaxed for them than even for the men folk. So we should create a general atmosphere of i'tikaf, not only in the masjids, but even in the homes. I'tikaf environment must be created, especially if there are 2-3 women folk, then they can easily divide the duties, and one can at least sit for i'tikaf whilst the others are doing the domestic chores and so forth. It becomes easy when there are a number of them in the home. So the women folk should also endeavor to sit for i'tikaf, for indeed this is such a great and noble act of ibadat, my dear friends, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that mani takafa asharan falahu ajrun ka hajjatain wa umratain, aw kama qala alaihi salam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person who sits for i'tikaf in the last 10 days of Ramadan, he gets the reward of 2 hajj and 2 umrah. 2 hajj and 2 umrah. How much does it cost to go for 1 hajj? How much of red tape and how much of applications and how much of expenses are entailed to go for 1 hajj? How much of exertion goes into the hajj? From when the preparations have to happen? And this for 10 days. In 10 days, a person is getting the reward of 2 hajj, normally to go for hajj, although hajj is only 5 days. But we know that the 5 days of hajj, you have to go well before, and you have to stay a while after, flights and so on, and all the other things that come in between, arrangement-wise and so on. So it is much more than 5 days. Sometimes it is 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks, sometimes 4 weeks. And now 2 hajj and 2 umrahs. A person gets the reward of 2 hajj and 2 umrahs for sitting for 10 days of i'tikaf in the month of Ramadan. This alone, this virtue alone is enough to motivate a person to sit for i'tikaf. Besides that, the person who's sitting for i'tikaf, one of the greatest wisdoms and benefits of sitting for i'tikaf, my dear friends, is that a person guaranteed he's going to get Laylatul Qadr. He's guaranteed Laylatul Qadr because he's already in ibadat when he's in i'tikaf. Even if he's eating and drinking and sleeping, he's still in ibadat when he's in i'tikaf. And he is already in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the environment is conducive. MashaAllah, when a number of people sit for i'tikaf, then it creates a wonderful atmosphere in the masjid. People are encouraged. They see others doing ibadat. They also want to vie. They try and keep up. A person says to himself that, what is wrong with you? So and so person is making so much ibadat. Look at that old man, how much of ibadat he's making. You are young. You've got much more energy and strength. Why don't you also stay up and make? So a person is encouraged. If a person is all by himself, all on his own, it's not so easy, because you get tired, you become lethargic, you feel your spirits are down, you don't feel that enthusiasm. But when we're in a group, then automatically that encouragement is there. And a person feels that atmosphere is there. People are engaging in different forms of ibadat. So that gives a encouragement to a person. So therefore, my dear friends, the ideal is for a person to sit for the sunnah i'tikaf. That way, you will be able to gain maximum in these last 10 days of Ramadan. However, we have to be practical. It is not possible for everybody to sit for sunnah i'tikaf. We have responsibilities, we have duties, and there are sometimes certain circumstances that though we would love to sit for i'tikaf, but the circumstances around us are such that we are not able to sit for i'tikaf. So at least make a niyat in the heart that, Ya Allah, if it was possible, I would have also sat for i'tikaf. We're not going to lose anything by that niyat. In fact, on that niyat, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us some reward of the i'tikaf. And the sincerity of that intention will show in which way that we will try to sit for as much nafil i'tikaf as possible. I couldn't make it for sunnat i'tikaf because I had to leave the masjid and go out for this work and that work. So it is not a problem. But then that sincerity of intention will show out that I still want to spend maximum amount of time in the masjid. So everybody should endeavor to sit for nafil i'tikaf for as long as they can. Especially, my dear friends, especially the odd nights of Ramadan. We don't know which one of these odd nights is Laylatul Qadr. We don't know which one is Laylatul Qadr. Allah has deliberately kept this knowledge a secret. Although Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed on one occasion about the Laylatul Qadr, and he came out to inform his ummah, but because of the argument between two brothers, that disrupted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mind for that moment, and the exact date slipped out of his mind, and that was also by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the ulama say that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to inform us about the exact night of Laylatul Qadr, and then we wasted that night, and we didn't do justice to that night, then we would have been totally deprived. So Allah Ta'ala kept it a secret, and we try our luck on these five nights. We don't know which one, starting from tonight the 21st, it could be the 23rd. There are indeed many narrations that Laylatul Qadr was witnessed in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the 23rd night. It could be the 25th night. It could be the 27th night, not guaranteed that the 27th night is Laylatul Qadr. Indeed, it could even be the 29th night of Ramadan. And if there's 30 nights, even the last night, we don't know which one it is. So therefore, my dear friends, we must treat every odd night as if it is Laylatul Qadr. And we should program ourselves in our day that we are able to stay up as much as possible and to do maximum in these odd nights. Try to set the times of our day in such a way that we can take out some time, even if it is for a short nap in the afternoon. That short nap in the afternoon, the qailula, the short nap, the siesta, that nap is very, very beneficial. It is very helpful in staying up at night. And it will give a person that extra energy and boost to stay up at night. I am not going to say you must take Red Bull. We don't need to do that. But what we are saying is that try to stay up as much as possible. Try to set our day in such a way that these last 10 days, try to minimize our worldly activities. Try to cut down our workloads. Try to make some arrangement in some way or the other that we can take the maximum benefit of these 10 days of Ramadan, especially these nights. My dear friends, we should stay up in these nights. It is as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us some deals on these nights. Now, if a person is told, look here, you know, we got 5 deals on. One of them is a mega deal, very big one. But the other 4 are also very big deals. So we're going to find somebody saying, well, look, you know what, I'm not interested in the other good deals. I'm only interested in taking the mega deal. So I'm not going to pay any attention to the other good deals that I'm getting. No, a person is going to say that Every deal that's coming my way, I'm getting this property that normally it was being market value is say 10 million. There's a bargain on this. There's five properties. Everyone, there's a bargain on these properties. One that is valued at 10 million is going for 1 million. Grab it. That's the mega deal. But the other four, instead of being going at 10 million, each one of those properties are going for 2 million. So a person is going to say, no, I'm only taking the mega deal. I'm not taking the other ones. A person will say, I'm grabbing all. Let me take every one of them. Like that, my dear friends, we should say, let us take all the five nights. And this is a deal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is offering us. This opportunity only comes once a year. Next year, this opportunity is going to come again. But whether we are going to be here to take advantage of this opportunity or not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Therefore, my dear friends, this is a very great ibadat. The ibadat of itikaf and the ibadat of seeking the Laylatul Qadr. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that, O Aisha, if you do find Laylatul Qadr, then you should recite this dua in abundance. Allahumma innaka afoon, tuhibbul afwa, fa'afu anni. O Allah, you love to forgive. So Allah, you are the one who forgives, you love to forgive. O Allah, forgive me. This dua we should read in abundance. Minimum, at least read one tasbih. Read at least one tasbih of this in all the odd nights. At least we will be counted amongst those who read this in abundance. If we read something 100 times, it is regarded as reading something in abundance. And my dear friends, there are various forms of ibadat. Salatul tasbih, tahajjud salah, tilawat of the Quran, dua. This is a very special season for dua. This is a very important occasion for dua. My dear friends, really speaking, the whole ummah should be on their knees now at this moment in time. The conditions around the world, the halat of the ummah is such that we should be down on our knees and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, change the conditions of the ummah for the better now. Bring good conditions. How much more hiding are we going to get? How much more we are going to be slaughtered and massacred before the tide turns around? Before this dark night goes? Before we come out of this dark tunnel and we see the light of day, how much more hiding is this ummah going to get through? What is happening in Gaza, my dear brothers? It makes our hearts bleed. 4 children playing football on the beach sand. They are killed mercilessly, my dear friends. Little children are being killed. Elderly people are being killed. Blood is being spilled of the ummah. Limbs are being severed. They are being massacred in cold blood. We all are helpless. We're sitting by, we can't do anything. The whole ummah is impotent. 2 billion Muslims, 2 billion Muslims around the world are sitting, my dear friends, with their hands at their sides, unable to do anything. One small group of people tormenting the ummah in this manner. How much more degradation we are going to go through? How much more humiliation this ummah is going to go through? How the conditions of the world are going? Yesterday we heard the plane was shot down from the sky. What is coming in front? Is this going to lead to a world war? What is going to happen? Another plane disappears from the surface of the earth, can't be found. The conditions are changing rapidly. Conditions are getting bad to worse. There is chaos in the world. There is mayhem in the world today. We don't know, we can't be content. We can't be complacent that everything is going to be good and well for us sitting here in this country. All over the world, the Muslims are in a state of turmoil. You take Sri Lanka, what is happening there? Burning the masjids down, burning the businesses down, burning the homes down. The Muslims are in a state of great tension. They're in a state of great fear. The Buddhists have attacked numerous times. They are threatening them. And all kinds of threats are being made against them. They were a very, very complacent, they were a very settled community. They were a well-established community. We can compare our condition with them very much. Minority, economically strong, economically vibrant. And they were a very organized community, but suddenly the condition took a turn. We make dua for them. We make dua for the people in Burma. We make dua for the Muslims in Kashmir. We make dua for the people in Bangladesh. We make dua for Pakistan, a Muslim country that is absolutely in such chaos. We make dua for the people in Afghanistan. We make dua for the people in Chechnya. We make dua for the people in Iraq. We make dua for the people in Syria. Ya Allah, what is happening? 10 million refugees, 10 million people, more than 20-30% of the population of the country, they are living out in tents. They've got no proper roof over their heads. They've got no proper food. They've got no proper clothing. Whatever assistance is being rendered is just a drop in the ocean. It is just a drop in the bucket in comparison to the needs of the people. 10 million people are displaced in Syria. What is happening, my dear friends, in Egypt? What is happening in Libya? What is happening in Tunisia? What is happening in Yemen? The whole world is aflame. The whole Muslim world is burning at this moment in time. Conditions are very, very precarious for the Ummah. What's happening in Nigeria? What is happening in Somalia? What is happening in Sudan? You just can list a list of the Muslim countries. You see a ring of fire. We see conditions are so bad all over. We should not become complacent. We should really be concerned. If we show concern for the ummah, Allah will have concern for us. مَنْ لَمْ يَهْتَمَّ بِأُمُورِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. The person who has no concern about the welfare of the ummah, he is not from amongst us. We should really be concerned about the ummah around the world. And my dear friends, this is that opportunity, these last 10 days of Ramadan. We need to go down on our knees. We need to go down in prostration. Put our head down in sajda and make that musalla wet with our tears. That, Ya Allah, I cannot do anything. I am helpless. The ummah is helpless. But this much we can do, that we can, through our tears, we can try to extinguish the flames that are burning in the ummah. And we can make dua for the well-being of the ummah. And we can make dua for the Muslims in Gaza. As we know, the ground offensive is on. There are such weapons are being used there at the moment. There's gases that have been fired. That those gases cause people to become nauseous and vomit. They cause people to go into a coma and fall unconscious on the ground. My dear friends, the enemies are gloating. The enemies are gloating. They're actually jeering. They're cheering. They're mocking when they're seeing the condition of the ummah. All those leaders around the world, they're all enjoying this carnage and the massacre and the bloodshed of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For think for one moment, if our Nabi was alive today, my dear friends, and he had to see the condition of his ummah like this, what would it have done to him, my dear friends? The people have seen like a rock on the heart of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is so concerned and perturbed about the condition of his ummah. This is what is happening. We as the ummatis, we have a duty and responsibility to the whole ummah, that at least we should spend some time in the house of Allah, cut ourselves from all the frivolous activities. Fortunately, the stupid world, games are also over and done with, that which was taking so much of people's time and wrecking and ruining their Ramadan. Time to make istighfar and tawbah if we were caught in that trap now. And seek Allah's forgiveness that we wasted half this month chasing after something that was useless and frivolous. Make tawbah now, my dear friends. Make istighfar now. This is a time to seek Allah's forgiveness. These days, let Ramadan not depart. Let Ramadan not depart when we have not been forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us not be that unfortunate person that Ramadan came and went and that person did not make sincere repentance to Allah and he did not seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this month went past without being forgiven the sins. So my dear friends, this is the time. These last 10 days are crucial. Really, cut everything else out. The masjids must be jam-packed. There must be no space in our masjids. These 10 days, it must be every night and every day must be like how it is on Eid night and Eid day and Laylatul Qadr. Our masjids must be jam-packed not only on the 27th, but indeed in all these nights and all these days. The times are very crucial. The times are very trying. There's no time to waste in frivolous activities. We all have to be concerned collectively as a ummah. What is happening? Where is the world going to? What is going to happen next? Are the signs of Qiyamah unfolding in front of our eyes? Those things that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us about, the major signs of Qiyamah, are those staring us in the face? How close are we to those times? We don't know. Now is the time to hold on to our iman. The hold on to iman is to be holding on to a burning charcoal. We have to hold on to our deen. We have to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us steadfastness on our iman. Not to make us slip and fall. Not to make us deviate and go off the track. As it is, there's so many splinter groupings. And there's so many isms and schisms in the ummah today. And there's so many different people calling in different direction. Man is absolutely, the ordinary person is confused. Leave alone the ordinary person. Even ulama, we don't know now who to support. Is this particular grouping on haq? They're not on haq. A person is making a call from this side. Somebody is calling from that side. I spoke to one of our senior most ulama of the Muslim world last week. And we were discussing this. And he was also saying to me that this is fitna. This is what fitna is. That you won't be able to make out truth from falsehood. You won't be able to make out who's right and who's wrong. Everything is so murky. It's so hazy. It's like you're walking through a forest. You're walking through a haze of smoke. It is, waters are muddied. You can't see anything really. We have to hold on to our iman. And we have to ask Allah Ta'ala to keep us on Sirat-e Mustaqim. And to keep our children and progeny on Sirat-e Mustaqim till the day of Qiyamah. This is the time to make faisla with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear friends, let us make the maximum use of these 10 days. Allah give us tawfiq. Let us not forget also that the Sadaqatul Fitr, we should try and get our Sadaqatul Fitr going also the last 10 days at least. Don't leave it till the last moment. The Sadaqatul Fitr should be given so that the poor people can enjoy a good Eid. At least they have enough time to go and purchase good clothes for their children. They can buy shoes for their children. They can stock up the home for some things for Eid. That is the object of Sadaqatul Fitr. Not to give it at the last minute. You give somebody Sadaqatul Fitr on Eid day, he must go and buy clothing and shoes and things for his family. So ideally we should try and take out our Sadaqatul Fitr from now onwards. Look for the poor people, give it to them. At least they can also enjoy the Eid. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.